Welcome to the Port Charles Update with your hosts, Mish and Mel.
Hello.
Hello again.
So, talking twice in a week? I don't know about this.
This is weird. I don't like you.
Okay, so there's a thing that happened. So you and I, when we do our podcast, we like write a ton of notes. We're like, notes, stuff we said. But then we start talking and have a conversation and barely consult our notes. And sometimes when the podcast is over, we're like, oh, crap, forgot to mention this, forgot to mention that. So today, because we're recording twice in a week, introducing a segment, things we forgot to discuss the last time.
I love it. We should do that every week.
Okay. So I like how we didn't, but we didn't talk about the fact that Jax and Sunny had a conversation. What's hilarious about that whole thing was I was really just concerned and happy that they talked about the fact that Joss was a part of the whole thing and the sauce. Like, I like that little detail being shared, you know, hey, Sunny, this is how you were actually found in the first place.
I thought it was super important to close that off because from the beginning of the whole sauce debacle, we're like, okay, where is this going? How is this going to be like thread throughout the story? And I like that they closed it off and Sunny's kind of like, my sauce.
And then he wanted to like ship him a ton, but it was just an interesting conversation and I was a little caught off guard. Okay. So the conversation is happening. And so Jax is explaining his story. And then also explaining why the sauce was significant for Jax. And it was significant because Jax basically saw Sunny at Nixon Falls, but thought he was imagining it. But I like that Sunny caught that little detail and was like, you thought I was imagining it, or did Nina convince you you were imagining it? And that was an interesting dig on Sunny's part. And there's like pockets of moments like that where you think you know exactly where he stands. But even when he's stern with his anger, I don't know. I feel like as an actor, he must be so freaking amazing. But even in his anger, even at that comment, you can see that it's a mask. Like there's anger, but you can see like he's angry, but not.
Well, yes, I very much felt
it's crazy.
He was flowing. Exactly. It was like a wave of Sunny and Mike, a wave of Sunny and Mike, the entire conversation.
And the part that caught me off guard is that, okay, so they're sitting together. Obviously, it's been, what, like a day or two? And no one knows the real truth about the connection between Nina and Sunny. But Jax very well does. And the first thing he says to Sunny is, like, you're an obstacle for me.
Yeah, I was still shocked that he actually still wants to be with Nina.
I was like, wow, like you are one track mind. It's ridiculous. And at this point, after everything that's occurred and the fact that you are still pursuing the exact same thing, despite changing information, I just feel like it's more of an obsession than about anything real and in front of your face. Because you've had zero relationship. She's hurt you and your family. You have destroyed the relationships with people closest to you. And I was just stunned because in direct conversation with Nina, there was a constant like, you know, nothing's going to happen. I'm in love with Mike. And apparently that is a turn on for Jax. And I feel like in Jax's mind, he's like, oh, well, it's good because regardless of how Nina feels and what her feelings are and the fact that she has none for me and all for Sunny Mike, to him, he feels safe because, well, I know what Sunny's going to choose. That's what Jax thinks. So for him, it's like, screw what Nina feels. Mm-hmm. Jax, like, Sunny is not an option. Therefore, she's my option. And I find that really, really messed up. And the amount of times he's acknowledged to other people and kept saying over and over, like, yeah, like, it's done. Like, no, there's no chance for us. And then to turn around and basically tell Sunny that, I was shocked.
It's really interesting because as we've seen, like, Joss is growing up and she's seeing more and more
yep.
through different a different lens who her father is and who her mother is. And I think this is also a part of her changing the way she sees Jax. Like, she hasn't even found out about what he's done to Michael yet. So this is all very interesting because she said to him, like, you are not going after her anymore. Right, Dad?
Yes! Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really true. They definitely are sprinkling a little bit of that, this concept that, like, Jocelyn's relationship with Jax is a little fragile because there's a lot that she doesn't know, but she is very involved into the adult stuff. I mean, she confronted Nina on her own. So exactly. I do feel like I feel like a lot of what's happening right now, a lot of these little secrets, everything that's being hidden or swept under the rug is all kind of hanging by a thread at this point.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, so that was just kind of a lot, actually, for me. And you mentioned Joss. And so later on, you have a little bit of a gathering of, like, Trina, Joss, and Cam post Esme run-in.
Yes, at the Corinthos house.
Yes, and so what I thought was really notable is how Joss blatantly dismissed Cam in front of Trina.
Yep.
and you know, and the whole, like, he leaves, and initially it's not like she jumped in to talk about, like, what Esme did or the potential of her manipulating Cameron or anything like that. She began by simply checking in on Trina. So initially I really just felt like, well, that, why would that be a conversation that you would need Cam out of the room for?
Right. I found that weird too, but it's this whole, like, shift in power, essentially, and showing where she stands yep. versus the normies and how she controls everything and is so similar to Carly. Yep.
It did feel like that, you know, very in control and kind of dealing with more, kind of like Sunny, you know what I mean? Like, Sunny, he'll say, like, go ahead, or yeah, I'll see you guys later. But there's always, he's all, like, as we learned what in his absence, how complicated dealing with the mob is. Like, it's kind of like, take a character like Sunny, where there's always, like, a double entendre, or there's maybe a lot more going on than we don't know, right? And that's yes. the vibe I got when her friends left. And it's not like they left for a small thing. They left because Spencer was arrested, fairly big. But, you know, Joss kind of just was like, no, bye. Like, I have some stuff that needs to be hashed out here with my mom. So the control thing, I really do see it. And something that I thought was quite perceptive on Joss's part, though, mm-hmm. Was when she was having a conversation with Trina and she starts talking about Nina and points out that, in her opinion, Nina was there looking for something. It was either she was looking for Sunny or my dad.
Yes.
And like, that whole thing got interrupted, but I would have loved to have understood, without the truth having come out, why Joss would believe that Nina was looking for Sunny.
Right. I'm like, is she going to break this down?
I was really curious. I kind of wanted this space for that to have been explored.
Let's hope there's still some space where she brings it up again.
I don't know how long it's going to be before Carly actually finds out or the truth comes out. Another thing about that little teen interaction at the Corinthos house, I found the conversation interesting. So Carly checks in on them and starts to question, because she clearly knows that Spencer's been arrested and the rest of them mm-hmm. don't. And so she brings it up. And then before Cameron walks in, they're having a conversation about Spencer's actions mm-hmm. and the fact that, like, it was illegal. And Joss starts telling her mom, I didn't think that Spencer could get arrested. And I thought the whole conversation was so interesting and such a clue about mm-hmm. Nina. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we wanted to just call him out. We wanted to just find out the truth. We had no idea he could get arrested. No idea these actions could be considered criminal, right? Like, even Kevin made a point of saying, like, it's out of our hands. Like, whatever, he's been arrested. So I just thought it was really interesting having this conversation about this idea of, like, oh, I didn't know these actions could get somebody in jail. So a few of them make it to the police station before Joss does. Carly does make an interesting comment, though, about Joss going to the police station. Like, if anybody could something get through to Spencer, it's you.
Yes.
Which is interesting from what we were saying last episode about this idea of Spencer and Joss. And it's not even that I'm like, let's say, wanting that to happen necessarily, but I don't know. Like, it feels like there's hints to something like that, even though it's obvious that there's like a Trina, like, you know, romance developing with Spencer. There's just some things that feels weird about the teen relationships right now.
I totally agree. It's a very bizarre world type situation right now.
Yeah. So they all show up there, but oh, wait, before they do, Esme. So when Esme finds Spencer, notice how immediately Spencer calls her on her selfishness, right? Being yes. mostly concerned for herself than him, when he really hasn't brought her name into anything.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Spencer, I'm like, can't you dump her now? Like, right? Did you not have a weird feeling when Chase was pulled into things?
I did, but I didn't know. Okay, so part of me was confused at the beginning, but I think it's symbolism towards who Cam will be in the future, like which side of the line he's going to sit on. Plus, they're kind of family in a sense or whatever. But the way Cam's personality is being portrayed at the moment, with believing Esme and just kind of being very black and white, is very Chase.
Okay, I agree with what it could mean in terms of what side of the law. Because, I mean, that's sort of the idea in Port Charles, right? What side of the law do you fall on? Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about Cam is that while everybody and all of the friends have experienced these really dramatic events in their lives, you know, Cameron's been arrested. Like, Cameron's had to yes. kind of, like, take responsibility for some of his stuff. So I can kind of understand why Cameron might take the law a little bit more seriously because of his connection to it.
Oh, fair. Okay.
And so, yes, but what was striking to me about Chase was him sitting across from Esme was so reminiscent of him and Nell.
Ooh, yes.
And even his vibe kind of changed, and it really became like that's just how I felt. So definitely I was feeling a Nell Chase vibe. Mm-hmm. And also I can't get it out of my head when you put that theory out that maybe Esme's ID wasn't actually a fake ID and that there's something off about her age, which is kind of an interesting story, really, I think. But it was that conversation when Chase called her on her use of the word whom.
Yes. I was like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Because I'm like, whom? Maybe that's what it is, right? Because in my head, I'm thinking, okay, you're calling her on this. You know, she poo poo. He met her at some like fancy school, you know? But the yes. fact that they made a point of like highlighting that the way that they did, it Ooh. Creeps me out. I don't know what any of it means, but I just thought that interaction was really striking to me and creepy. And yes, the whole thing with Cam, what I thought there was, yes, it's all about like what side will he fall. But that's when I wondered if Cameron gets the card and Cameron is getting the hint right now that, for instance, Chase is looking into Esme. You know, will this be the turning point where he acknowledges that, like, Esme is the key to maybe saving Spencer? Like, I don't really know how far things are going to go. But, like, I kind of wondered, would that be a turning point? Is Cam going to be used as a pawn to get closer to Esme and do Ooh. That whole, like, fake a breakup crap?
I like all of this. I don't see it.
That whole thing was just a lot, I find. While it was all simple, these little quick interactions, I just found that there was a lot in them. I just feel like Esme is a nice addition to that collection of Nell, Shiloh, Ryan.
So true. They all have this really creepy, awesome quality that I want to yeah. watch, but still don't want to watch.
Yeah. So I really feel like we're starting that portion of it, right? This is where, like, we're going to see Esme unleashed, if anything.
Oh, yeah. Between, like, her, the way she speaks to Joss, the way she speaks to Trina, her manipulation of the situation, even when she was with, like, Nicholas and Kevin, amongst the adults, she's also very comfortable playing those cards. I mean, she did it with Sunny, of all people.
Okay, so that's the part that reminds me of Nell. Because Nell, even when in moments where it was obvious, like in that, where people aren't believing her, right? She's interacting with Nicholas and Ryan, and sorry, Kevin, whoa, and Kevin. And you can see that they're not on board with her, right? You can yeah. see that they're not buying what she's selling, but it doesn't frazzle her. She really persists and continues and creates her own reality and yes. says whatever she's got to say, even tone, and leaves. And that was, that to me feels like a Nell quality.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. And then she's going to have that internship at the jail. Things are going to get crazy real quick.
Yes. Oh, just in time for Halloween.
I'm scared.
Okay. So all of this fuss around, like, how do we help Spencer? And kind of Ava shows up with a fairly simple solution.
I love her.
That's to be debated by me today later on. Oh,
for this specific scene, that is all, period.
But even there, it had that quality of how I felt about Valentine, right? Like, Valentine changed and evolved, but I was always nervous about what would happen when he comes in contact with Spencer, because that is a very specific past. And his interactions with Spencer back in the day were really, really horrible. So for me, what's hard is that if Valentine is near Spencer, that takes me back to a point when I didn't like Valentine, and I don't like that. Like, I don't really want to be reminded of that. And with Ava, same thing. I like where she has been going, and I don't really want to be reminded of all the other stuff. And in those scenes, while, of course, you know, Spencer has kind of gone too far, you know, has been stuck in time, and as Ava said, very attached to his resentment, in that moment where she's like, can't you just trust me, or can you just do that? He says something. And of course, what he says isn't helpful. It doesn't help anybody. Mm-hmm. But he says, look what happened the last time I trusted you.
I know. I felt awful.
You know, like, he's younger. He doesn't have the luxury of having any additional history with Ava. But at the same time, he never allowed it, right? He didn't allow himself any openness to see what Ava was like now, to kind of use that to challenge whatever past things he was holding on to. So that kind of struck a chord with me when he said, like, I can't trust you. And it's like, I know she has evolved. But that felt really weird to me when he said it, and then combine that with how the week went. So we talked a little bit about last time our feelings about the fact that she didn't have a reaction for Avery on Avery's behalf initially. And I did note after that, like, okay, so Ava finds out this news. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand the reasoning behind this. Okay. Because you can obviously divide this in any magical timeline that poor Charles wants to be divided in. But we know that in the moment that Ava finds out, Sunny is concluding a conversation with Nina.
Yes.
I would have thought, if anything, the first person Ava would have went to was Nina, not Carly.
Yes.
But she went to Carly first.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm really not sure what's going on or what she wants, or if Sunny being back returns even Ava to, like, it like a little bit of like time travel, like taking her back to that bizarre dynamic that was a lot less flexible.
Okay.
Even though I remember it being flexible. Like, last I recall of Sunny was he had the good relationship with Ava, and they were being relatively flexible and kind when it came to Avery. That's how I remember it.
Same.
Before he died. And then all of a sudden, there's a different tone. You know, I felt like there was a different tone when Ava went in the kitchen. I felt like, and Sunny was there for the first time. I felt like there was a different tone, even in Carly saying, well, I have to ask Sunny. Like, she still could have handled all of that softer.
Yes, absolutely.
So then we actually get to see what happens when she confronts Nina, thinking that she actually had something to confront her about. Turned out she was just upset she wasn't told.
That whole scene, like, I have so many eye roll emojis, because where was the anger? It was more, yeah, exactly that. It was like, we're friends and you didn't share the goods with me.
Mind you, she painted a very different picture of her friendship to Scott. Right? Because I'm sorry, they look very much like friends. She's looking out for Nina when it came to Jax, all that stuff.
Yep.
They were friends talking about deep stuff. They did not appear confused like Maxie has been confused about her friendship with Brooklyn. And so she kind of walked back her friendship a little bit with Scott, being like, well, I mean, we're friends, but so, you know, we talk. And then, you know, with Carly, she's like, you guys are close. She goes, yes, but like, I would never keep this a secret. So again, playing that off a little bit, you know, the things she was saying to Carly kind of played into Carly. And now she's all about a Mike and Nina romance and reunion.
like, I didn't even know what to make of the scene. All I could think of is, you know, if he's had two different personalities combined in one brain, and then Nina, who's tried to steal a baby out of her body, she can get more time with Avery.
That's the only thing I can come back to. Sonny is always going to be there, right? It's Avery's father. So it's about which woman is easier to deal with. I just thought it was strange. I can see that like perspective, but I'm like, really though, like part of me is having a hard time buying it. Cause like, if Ava can find a way to make it work with Carly, if Ava would trust her child with Carly, you know what I mean? It's not like you ever have like Nina babysitting Avery.
Right.
You know, other than her kidnapping her that one time,
they bonded then.
and like, it's not like Ava was in support of the decisions that Nina was making around Wiley. She even called her on that. Like, what are you doing saying all this stuff to a child? She, you know, was careful, but sort of burst Nina's little bubble on who Nell was. Yeah. So that's, with all of that together, I find it so odd. Her, because the thing is, like, Sonny is here, right? It's not like he's Mike, so that if Nina is with Mike is out of the picture, and then it's back to you and Carly dealing with Avery. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because with Sonny out of the picture, there is no custody. Ava has full custody,
right?
And I did think it was weird on Carly's part. Like, why wouldn't she want to revisit custody? What are you talking about? She had her 100% of the time. And she gave up her kid because she was being stalked. Why would she just leave Avery there without a conversation, as if the 9 months never happened?
Like, all of this is so bizarre. I'm having a really hard time seeing what's ahead. And part of me just doesn't want to see Ava revert back to that person either.
No. And I mean, okay, that's the hard part for me too, because, you know, just because she sides with Nina, does that really mean she reverts? And I hate even asking that question. It's just, I don't like it.
I don't like that she just so easily gave her a pass. Like you said, look at all the times that she was straight up with her about so many situations. Carly, Wiley, Nell, but not Avery?
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked, especially after, you know, all this Spencer stuff came out and all the fact that you mess with my daughter. Like, you're not annoyed that all in the name of the love, she took away your daughter's father?
So here's the thing. You just made me think of something. So it's either she's doing this because she wants custody of Avery and she wants, you know, Sonny with Nina, or she does have a plan for Nina and she's playing it nice. Keep your enemies close. Exactly what Carly said as to why she wants to keep her in the building.
Because I didn't know if thinking that was wishful thinking. I was hoping, because like, I'm just saying, for me, it just doesn't make any sense. And like you were saying earlier, it's hard for me to understand. Like, I don't know. We were really holding on to Ava. We were so curious about like her role in all of this when she found out, because, you know, Avery was affected. And we keep talking about things becoming perhaps further divided around Nina. And we were really hoping. We saw Ava interact with Carly and we saw potential and we liked them together. And I guess we thought that they would become allies. So, I mean, yeah, I'm partly disappointed, but also at this point, utterly confused if this is in fact the road things are going.
I know. Remember Carly said, like, Carly should have a plan. But I mean, in a perfect world, I'd love right now for Carly and Ava to be plotting against Nina.
Oh my gosh, I really like that. I like that a lot, because part of me is wondering, like, let's say Ava is like playing her on her own. I'm like, okay, well, what is it? You know what I mean? Like, what's your plan? But like, yeah, like an Ava Carly thing together would be amazing. But like, again, so at a loss how she is not angry on behalf of her daughter.
I know. And that's what's royally throwing me off.
Yeah, it's really throwing me off at this point. So I'm not sure where that's going. But I mean, look, funniest line, best line I've ever heard in my life. Because we talk about Ava, right? Her knack for honesty. She's clever. And so when she turns around and says something to her after you found Shangri-La in Whoville, and the way she delivered that line was the best thing I've ever heard. So like, oh wow, like that to me was just everything.
I know, because it summed up what we've been thinking and talking about the title for 9 months, apparently.
I know. So like you said, after 9 months, some real conversations have finally been had. partially real. So
yes.
The best buds, okay? The best buds start having a talk, okay? Sunny finally starts asking some questions about this wedding night. And as I watch this conversation happen, I mean, look, Jason always has the truth, right? Like, that's what he relies on. And so he very honestly says it without a problem, you know, like, yeah, I would have went to bed with your wife in your actual bed. Totally.
But I could not sit in your chair, man.
No, that was uncomfortable. That was too uncomfortable. So I'm like, okay, this is interesting. And so then Sunny is like processing, right? Processing. And I thought it was so interesting to watch, right? So Sunny is starting to do some math here. He's like, well, you were together a long time ago. So he never put two and two together of how he started with Carly. Or that hurt Jason. Like, it never crossed your mind why the guy left town, or that, you know what I mean? Like, that had a role. Like, it never crossed your mind that, like, Jason and Carly were going to run away together. It's just like Sunny takes it. He doesn't really think, you know what I mean? And it was really weird watching him piece all of that together. So wait a minute, you slept with her, then I slept with her, then you left, and then you came back. Like, you left immediately after that happened, actually. And then you came back, and then you were best buds and super close. Huh. Are you serious?
I think it's really interesting because I took away that from the scene, but as well as, you know, like you posted, it's Sunny trying to get advice and also a little bit of Mike in there being less selfish, because he was this whole entire other person who was like introspective and, you know, was able to be more in the moment and aware of his actions and aware of how his actions affected somebody else. And when he's Sunny, he isn't really that person.
Talk about compartmentalizing, right? Mm-hmm. You got Mike, you got Sunny. But not just that, he is more than comfortable having this conversation about his feelings, mm-hmm. about his best friend and his wife, and how that's earth-shattering, while totally forgetting that he was in love with somebody else, like more fully in love, more developing a relationship. Because remember, like, Jason and Carly's relationship and confrontation of their feelings was forced.
Yes.
It wasn't on their timeline. Like, their natural timeline would have happened wedding night and onward. That would have been the beginning of their romance. That's why it can sort of be shut off, while it may not sound logical, right? So that whole thing was interesting, because when you're hearing Sunny talk about their relationship, in my head, I was watching and I'm like, well, I mean, it looks bad when he puts it like that. Like, when Sunny lays out, you know, the whole Jason Carly thing. And then when he turns around, like, the part where I felt like he was asking for advice was more so when he's like, so you could just close that door again. And like, that part was hard, right? When Sunny's sitting there talking about this idea that, so you guys closed the feelings back then. And then recently you like opened the door to them.
He called it a door.
And then he's like, and you guys could just close that. Like, you could just shut it off just like that. That part, I felt like he was asking for advice. He's like, how do I do that? Because I don't think he can.
No, he can't. And his like half Sunny, half Mike, you know, fist slam on the desk was hilarious. But it's not just that Nina kept him away. It's that he was so convinced that he didn't want to find his family. And he chose, like you said, like this with Carly and Jason happened after the marriage. What happens when Carly finds out that he just like legit gave up on his life and was willing to move on, even though he had a wedding band on his hand? Like, things just, I love the way things are breaking down and it's awkward and it's weird and finding their groove when the entire truth is still not out.
That actually sounds really bad when you put it like that. That he it's how I felt when Sunny was talking. I'm like, it's really bad when you lay it out like that. But it's really bad when you put it that way, that he never... Like, because he's painting a different picture, right? He's telling Jason, I had a dream of Carly. I woke up and like, she's my everything. You know, he's painting this picture that I just wanted to come back to. And I came back a super quick But then there's that reality that all that time, you're right, he never wanted to look. And he gave a quick explanation the night he came back, and that's it, right? Yeah. And then he goes to talk to Carly.
I love how she greeted him.
That was funny. Johnny started laughing. He's like, what? Like, he was a little caught off guard by that whole thing. I felt like she handled herself really well. She's had a lot of talks with Jason before where he kept repeating things like, you know, you have nothing to feel guilty about. So I felt like she did a really good job not sort of highlighting any guilt and saying and pointing out like, this would not have happened if not for Nina. I would not have been in, and I'm glad she let him see, because he's fixated on how awkward it is for him that his best friend and wife, you know, opened the door to love, but he fails to realize how they suffered during that those 9 months, right? Explaining how hard it was for her to like deal with the kids by herself, live like and be in her empty bed, you know, like her crappy coffee every single morning, the fact that she mourned. And I feel like that's the part he hasn't fully absorbed, because that is the reason everybody has strong feelings against Nina. And I feel like that is something he's not really getting, right? I think he's more fixated on his confused place and getting his stuff back, that he's really, really not thinking about how this impacted anyone else aside from himself right now, is what it kind of looks like. And, you know, he expresses how he feels. Carly is essentially saying the same thing, except she's a little bit more visual. With the whole, no, we would have slept together if you didn't walked in. We would have slept together. But she was really, and she was really, really adamant about her love for him and her choosing him. And I thought it was quite disturbing that she said, I choose you always. And she had her hand out, but it took a really long time before he offered his hand back. And all he said in return was, I choose you. Leaving out the word always the way she did.
I know that it was so perfectly written and acted, because I felt every moment of that. Her heart was on her sleeve, and she was in it, and she loves him. She wants her person back. And he's like, I'm not really sure, because I kind of love someone else.
Right. And like, you know, because we talked about this whole idea that like, I don't get it. So Jason and Carly just closed the door on all that stuff after they said that they loved each other. But now in this conversation, I feel differently about it. Like, like we were talking earlier, they just were starting, right? Like they didn't actually, like they were going to start their whole lives that wedding night, basically. But Sunny and Nina had that whole 9 month buildup of, and like, you know, Sunny had that initial attraction to her. Yes. There was no questioning it, no debating. Are we friends? Are we not friends? They had an initial attraction and they danced around it for 9 months. And that is really not the story of Jason and Carly at all. But also during their like talk between Sunny and Carly, he kind of, you know, being really upset that she fell in love with Jason. She's like, it's not like you fell in love with some stranger you met. He gave other examples. Yeah. I thought that was a really interesting thing to say.
It was, because it's confusing.
It's very confusing watching this and hearing what everyone is saying. It's a lot to take in, these conversations.
It really is. Sometimes my head hurts.
But I do think, you know, based on a couple of hints, that it will lead to like a legal case.
Yes, I definitely, yes. I want to see that. I want to see her put on the stand and all the dirt come out.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot nastier than whatever Brooklyn and Austin got going on. What I'll say about that is I like that they continued the Brooklyn and Maxi friendship story, which I have to say, like, I really love the rom-com vibe, that moment where they're acknowledging that they're friends and cementing that together. But hopefully Maxi will be there to kind of help mellow Brooklyn out, because it's gone way too far. What she's doing with Austin. Like, I actually thought she was extending an olive branch to Austin. And I really thought she was putting Leo first when she went to go have that conversation with him. And I was super disappointed that the whole thing was a plot. Because remember, Chase is the one who like talked her into being open to him. And then you go and do that.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. But I think it's for the purpose that this new friendship is solidified, and for Maxi to be that balance, for them to be balanced for each other.
Because look, if Brooklyn thinks she has leverage, it's all going to go out the window if Austin remembers.
Exactly. My favorite part with like Brooklyn and the whole hospital thing when she's talking to Britt and, you know, trying to practice and get her story out. Britt's like, you can't play it, play it.
Yeah. I love that Britt can see right through that crap, except she was in a position where she was forced to entertain her BS nonetheless.
I'm upset that she got pulled into this, but then she kind of gets pulled into something else that's a little bit different. And she's preparing her own monologue now to speak with Jason.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I feel like the fact that Jason got that call after and during that whole conversation with Sunny, mm-hmm. I felt like Jason must feel the pressure to like love her just to not lose Sunny, like to distance himself from Carly, to not lose his family. And it took me back to a conversation he had with Austin, where Austin kept, you know, was pointing out like his relationships. This idea of a chosen family versus the family he was born into, which is really interesting because Jason, I feel, kind of like renewed his family love with the Quartermains when he had that conversation with Ned. And also through the wedding. Through the wedding with Carly was a huge renewal of their, like, you know, family love and whatnot. So Jason's in a tough spot. And so was Britt trying to find her mom.
Absolutely. And I just, one of my favorite lines comes out of that scene with the two of them together because of how fast he got there. And then at some point she goes, where are my manners? Let me take your cape.
I know. She's so funny when she rambles. She says really funny stuff. And he like doesn't react like at all to like anything.
Well, I mean, the thing is, he had this huge conversation. He's still kind of teary-eyed, and you can see that he does care very strongly for Britt. Once he commits to a woman, he wants to save her and protect her and be there for her. So I think he was more in the moment of, it took a lot for Britt to call him, and he is aware of that. So he wants to like get to like the meat and potatoes of how best he can help her.
I think, you know, I really feel like this has been the main running theme, is that so many things and feelings can exist all at the same time.
Yeah.
And if like, it's almost like living many lives at the same time. Like everything right now is like super messy, but it looks like she will be joining Jason to Greece. I do wonder if Scott will go with them. I think adding Scott to this trio will be hilarious. Like if he actually wants to go on this mission. And why I think that's even funnier. Okay, so for one, I'm really liking Drew. Like I really find there's stuff that reminds me of original Drew, just in the things he says. I know you're thinking about him shirtless as I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
This damn videographic memory.
And I loved how quickly, you know what I mean, like he put that together. Yes. Of everything that's going on. I do wonder if Victor truly has an upper hand on Peter, because everyone's like, Peter's so dangerous. And I'm like, Victor, you have a whole compound and people you're in charge of. Like, right? I think you got this. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't need to like kidnap Valentine for that. And so he's figuring things out. But the funny thing about Drew is like, he's been missing for 2 years. And slowly the whole town is trickling into his cell. Like one by one. And it's going to be the weirdest thing when all of this comes to a head, because you have like Anna and Robert there, you know, and then that like Cassadine associate sang like a bird and told them everything. Mm-hmm. And now you have like Dante and Sam there. And then potentially you have like Jason and Britt showing up. And I kind of hope Scott is there too. And I just think it's really interesting. Like Drew's first reintroduction into the world is going to be like to this like bizarro town, like how the couples have shifted, like all of this new love and relationships, you know, like Scott and Liesl, Anna and Valentine, seeing Sam with Dante, being like, oh, Jason, you're with Britt now and you guys just travel all together. What? Like, I just think like from Drew's perspective, this is going to be weird.
Oh, yeah. He's going to think he's like, he got hopped up on drugs. They gave him something in the jail. So, like, it's weird.
He's going to be smacking his head to be like, oh, my God, I think someone's controlling my mind again. And there's been a gap of time. Like, it's, well, there was a gap of time. There was, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
I get jokes. I do sometimes.
Okay. All right.
Did we do all of the things?
I think we did all of the things. And it's extra long. Everything. It was much less efficient this way.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Well, I hope you enjoy this very special week of two episodes. Yes! And hearing more of our voices. We love you and thank you. And that's a wrap, folks.
Bye.
Bye.